for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with the first of the New Year's episodes of Non-League Passion and Information. A solo run before we hit the ground running next week, but plenty to get through after a busy Christmas period. So let's get things underway. It's the first weekend of a new year, and tradition says that means the third round of the FA Cup. So who else could we turn to open the show but our very own at FA Cup Platform, Mr. Phil Annette. Happy New Year, Phil.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Tim. How are you?
I'm on the mend. It's a new year, lots to be excited about, and a better non-league turnout in the third round this term than last season, but still a little down on past third rounds.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, obviously last year, no representation from non-league in the third round was a bit of a low. But we have two sides this year. Not as many, as you said, as we might normally expect. Hopefully it's not a downward trend and we'll still see more non-league teams getting through to the third round in the future. But yeah, Barnet and Woking are flying the flag for non-league sides this year.
Yeah, so 736 clubs. I think that was the full entry this season. And I know you still have thoughts about rejigging the early rounds to get more non-league clubs exposure in the competition, but it is still good, you know, perhaps a smaller number of non-league clubs gives those clubs further exposure to the wider world of football.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, the fewer non-league sides that make it this far, the more attention they get, and more people maybe remember them when they achieve an outstanding result, if that's likely to happen, and we keep our fingers crossed. Yes, I would like more non-league sides to have the chance. I think we are overdue a change in the structure of the FA Cup. It would be great if they could reflect where the passion of the competition is at in the non-league world and open the doors to more teams to have a better chance of getting this far.
Well, we've had plenty of changes in non-league, so it's about time the FA Cup had a few changes. So on to these two non-league representatives. Let's start with the side at home, Woking, taking on the might of Watford. That's the Kingfield Stadium on Sunday in the 2 o'clock kickoff. It's the biggest gap in the round this year. Is there a chance of a cup set in this one?
Well, yeah, you're right. It is the biggest gap. Level six versus level one. Watford. Well, it all depends on how serious Watford take it. Whether they do a lot of changes. They won't want to lose, obviously, but they may have their minds and their priorities on securing a strong position in the Premier League. So if Woking are up for it, as they were in the previous round, and Watford aren't on the game, then why not? Why not? Let's get a repeat of the memorable occasions for Watford and for Woking in the past.
Yeah, I see that over, I think just under 5,700, a complete sellout at Woking, and in fine form over Christmas. I think a full 12 points from 12 over the Christmas period. So if you're a Watford player and you've seen about cup sets in the past, it's probably not one that you're actually looking forward to, is it?
No, not so soon after New Year as well. Yes, I think Watford on a roll. Woking on a roll, and it'll be great to see that continue. But nobody wants to be on the wrong end of a giant killing. So there will be a few players full of trepidation from the Watford contingent.
Yeah, and then we move to the other non-league representative, Barnet. A tougher trip, maybe, up to Sheffield United. That's another 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. And effectively a new manager at Barnet, with John Steele retiring from the dugout over Christmas and Darren Curry stepping up.
What a game to have as your first game. Nothing to lose, so you can really just go for it. It'd be fantastic if Barnet could get a result up there at Sheffield United. It's a shame that it's not live on UK TV for everyone else to see how to get on. But, like I say, nothing to lose for the new manager. Might as well see what people can do, and it's a great shop window for them all.
Yeah, and just wondering, looking at both those games on the Sunday afternoon, is there any stats or anything you can think of about non-league clubs being luckier playing on a Sunday?
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, I'll take anything.
No, I'm not aware of Sunday being the day for non-league fortune, if I'm being honest. So I could dig that one out, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
It's one for next year, Phil, when both of these clubs win on Sunday. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
When I
definitely
know the question's coming, yeah. Yes.
Well, obviously, previewing the games, it's something we always love to hear from you, Phil, but there's something extra this week as well. We're a review of some of the great successes in this season's FA Cup. The results are the factors that you oversee, the FA Cup Team Awards. Do you want to tell us about the winners?
Yeah, the factors this year have generated a lot of interest from the non-league community, and we've just closed the competition and the voting, and we do have our four winners, although any one of the clubs that were participating and nominated for an award would have been a worthy winner. So if I start with the Special Team Award, we have four nominations there: AFC, Croydon Athletic, Anstey Nomads, Creethorpe Town and Daventry Town, all of them performing outstandingly in the FA Cup this year. But the vote has gone the way of Creethorpe Town for being the top goal scorers in the competition this season from the non-league community with 19 goals. So that's a fantastic achievement for Creethorpe Town. Definitely got their fans out to vote en masse on that one.
Always good to get the reaction, even so, you know, so many months on since they exited the FA Cup. It just proves the magic of the competition.
Yes, that's right. And I think their fans and their players and those involved with the club were really keen to let everyone know how happy they were and how pleased they were with the performance that the team had this season. We then look at the surprise of the Cup, and this was, in the end, turned out to be the closest vote of them all, with margins of one or two votes difference between the top two. In the end, between the clubs of Coggeshall Town, Dunstan UTS, Haringey Borough and Western Supermare, it was Haringey Borough who ended up on top to win the surprise of the Cup Awards. They made the first round proper of the FA Cup for the first time ever in their 39th campaign. So an award that's well worthy in terms of that achievement, having played, I think, six ties in order to get that final cup. And took, I think, is it Wimbledon, took them almost all the way to the end. So a fantastic season in the FA Cup for Haringey Borough.
Yeah, and good to see that they've continued that form in the league as well, because so often a good cup run, and you know, particularly losing the way they did to AFC Wimbledon, it could have almost ended their season. But they're doing well in the Bostic Premier as well, and it looks like the club's having one of those fantastic years.
Yes, it is really good the way that they bounce back, and as you said, many other cup may have wilted after coming so close and yet so far, but it's good to see them doing very well. We move on to the performance of the Cup, where we have more nominations than any other of the Factor Awards. We had eight clubs up for this: Dunstan UTS, Guiseley, Hastings United, Hereford, St Neots Town, Stockport County, Winchester City and Woking, all of whom had shown fantastic one-off performances in winning a Cup game throughout their run. Again, another tightly contested affair. This time, the performance of the Cup winner is Winchester City, for their 4-1 away win at High League Merthyr Town in the second quarter final. So a fantastic result for Winchester in what was a very memorable FA Cup run this year.
Yeah, nice to see that some of the memorable results are in the early qualifying rounds as well, which means so much to non-league clubs.
Yeah, very much. I remember the video images, I think it was St Neots Town, when they had their fourth league comeback win over Romulus early on. They showed what the true magic of the FA Cup was all about with their post-match celebrations. And then we come to the big one, which is the team of the Cup, the one which I guess all the clubs want to win. And we had four nominations here. AFC Uckfield Town for winning their first games at their ninth attempt. Dunstan UTS, who were the only club to start in the EP round to make it all the way to the fourth qualifying round. Haringey Borough, who were the only club to start in the preliminary round to make it to the first round. And Woking, who are the only level six club, as we know, to make it to the third round proper. So three out of those four nominations have all played as many FA Cup ties this year as the eventual winners are likely to play. But the vote went this time for the team of the Cup in favour of Dunstan UTS, a very well worthy winners. If you remember their FA Cup win over Chester and then their exploits against Gateshead live on the BBC online airing of the fourth qualifying round, I think they're well-deserved winners. They've been the epitome of the FA Cup this year. And so they are well-deserved Team of the Cup for 2018-19 Factor Award winners.
Well, congratulations to all those winners. And again, nice to see that it's not necessarily the greatest fan base that wins you these awards?
No, it's about making an impact. Yeah, of course, all the clubs have got their fans to vote in their hundreds, etc. But I think for the wider non-league community, have recognised the excellent performances that these clubs have achieved through that competition.
Well, some fantastic performances, and I'm sure they'll be spoken about for years, decades to come. I'm sure a number of those clubs. And Phil, it's thanks to you as ever for your input, and we do look forward to speaking to you with you very soon. Whether that's in the next round, if there's any non-league contingents, or whether it's maybe later on in the season with a full roundup of the FA Cup. But thanks once again for your time and your effort, Phil.
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity to share my passion for the competition and for the non-league clubs' efforts in the FA Cup. And like you said, let's hope we're speaking again in 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, and just finally, just in case people have forgotten, just tell them where they can read your blog and find out more about all your stats and facts.
Yeah, I'm providing facts and stats in the FA Cup through my Twitter account, mainly the at FA Cup Fact File. I also run a blog on facupfactfile.wordpress.com. You can find me on Facebook as well under the same FA Cup Fact File name. So if you're interested in the FA Cup at any stage, then do give me a follow.
Thanks again, Phil. Look after yourself and speak to you soon.
Thanks very much, Tim. Cheers for now.
Of course, the FA Cup still holds magic for non-league fans, whether your club is still involved or not. But if you want real passion, real dreams of a trip to Wembley, then step forward the FA Bar. This weekend, it's the fourth round of the competition, 32 clubs competing to get one step nearer that finals day in May. A competition that often kickstarts clubs into success. It seemed a perfect time to revisit a club on their way back up and involved in this weekend's action. Step forward, Histon FC and manager Lance Key. Happy New Year to you, Lance, and welcome to the Non-League Football Show.
Happy New Year to you all, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, I'm sure listeners will remember the name of Histon, the great rise from the Eastern County League under Steve Fallon into the Conference Nationals, and great FA Cup runs too in the 2000s. But various issues off the field and relegation last season back into the Eastern Counties Premier. I know the club is very dear to you from your playing days between the sticks. Was relegation from the Southern League a real tearjerker?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I came on board, as you know, 2 years ago, we were actually 17 points adrift, and to only kind of miss out by the odd point in the end was a bit of a gut wrencher, really. But then we galvanised it last year. We finished sixth in that respective season. And we showed a better case of form throughout. And the club started to grow a little bit better and move forward in the right direction for the first time in probably about 10 or 12 years. Since obviously when Histon beat Leeds United all those years ago. So for us to be where we are right now, top of our league, or near the top of our league respectively, and obviously doing very well in the FA Vard, we've come a long way in 2 years.
Yeah, and I mentioned your own playing affiliation, and there's been many changes behind the scenes, but as you mentioned, the club's always been a very friendly place, and it seems that the focus is very much on community nowadays.
Certainly that. I mean, I think if you go back to when, obviously, I used to play, we moved
when you
up
used to play,
then
I used to give you abuse from the sidelines as well.
many people did that, trust me. But yes, it was, I look back at those days, we had a team that was locally based. I think the first player we had away at that time was probably Burwell, which is only about a 20-minute drive from Cambridge Centre. We're trying to recreate that now with what we have now. We have a team that is formed around players that are family-based, like you just said, and we are creating that kind of family vibe within the club again, because most of the players are within a 20-25-minute driving radius, and I think that bodes well for us right now, because we are where we are, and deservedly so, because of what's happened in the past with relegations and financial issues. But right now, the club is moving in the right direction, and the crowds are getting bigger, performances are getting better, and right now the hype is very big.
Yes, yeah, so how important then is building that community, is success in the FA Vars?
It's huge. We had a home game against Walsham and Willows last Saturday against a side that are doing very well in our league also. And we had just short of 300 people at our level of football, which is very, very good. We're hoping this weekend could be more, because obviously the last 32 of the FA Vars hopefully will create a little bit of a buzz back in the village again, because it was always said that we're just a village side, but actually we're a bit more than that, because everyone wants to beat us because we have a target on our back from where we were once before. And I think that if we can create that buzz again that we had all those years ago, he will never get to those dizzy heights, but it's certainly, if we can create that kind of atmosphere again, that would be great. And hopefully we can get a few more bums on seats this weekend.
Yeah, and the prize money, I think, $18.75 for the winners and a place in that last 16, £625 to the losers. All gratefully received when you are still got running costs for your club.
Every bit of cash that comes forward from the FA Cup or the FA Rise is huge. Some clubs budget for it and then get caught out by it. We certainly haven't done that this year for both tournaments, and we made a few pennies out of the FA Cup. We're doing okay so far in the FA Rise. So if we are to succeed this Saturday, pick up another £1,800, because then the next round is £2,200, and all of a sudden it's not just the money side of it, but then you can obviously smell the old Twin Towers, as I would call it. So again, financially it's huge, but for the players itself, it's a massive opportunity at this level of football to try and get to Wembley, because if we go that one step higher next year in the league pyramid, we won't get this opportunity because we're one of the lowest tier teams in the FA Trophy. So we have to make and grasp the opportunity right now. And obviously there's another 32 teams in this competition that can still win it, obviously. But we feel we have a big chance as well. So the players know it, the management staff know it, the club knows it, and I'm hoping that the actual community around the Houston area also knows it and comes out in their droves on Saturday.
And Lye Town, they're your visitors from the Midland Premier this weekend. Pretty much a month into draw. What have you managed to find out about them?
We've had them watched, obviously. We'd be foolish not to. And we know how they play. We know that they're fairly direct, they're fairly physical. But they're beatable. And they will probably have us watched. And likewise, we'll feel the same. But we feel that if we can play to our game plan that we'll have for them on Saturday, that if we can do it in the right way, that I think that if we can play to our potential, I think we could hopefully get through to the last 16. It's a massive ask. It's a massive game for the club, but for the players as well. One thing I do have is I have an experienced bunch. And I said this before, that if we are to progress and to improve in the league as well as the FA Bars, if I was to bring anybody else in, it would be somebody of the same ilk. So I think that I'm very fortunate with the squad that I have, that it is a blend of one or two youth players that have come through the ranks but have played first team football now for 3 or 4 years. But also I have one or two very senior players that have been there, seen it and done it. And I think hopefully that will bode well for us this Saturday.
Yeah, and looking at both of your records in the FA Vars this year, it certainly looks to be goals. I think you had a 1-1 draw converted to a 2-0 win, then a 5-4 win, 5-1 win, and Lye have won 5-2, 4-1 and 4-0.
Yeah. I mean, we know they've scored plenty of goals in the FA Vars, but they've also conceded a few in their league campaign. We've had them watch, like I say. We feel that we can get at them with our attacking force that we have. So I doubt it'll be a 0-0, put it that way. I think those are the goals that you're talking about. But we just have to approach it like any other game. And if we can create the chances that we do in most games, I'm sure we're going to take one or two of them. I mean, hopefully we've been quite stringent at home in terms of goals against. And if that can continue, then it gives us a great base to build on for Saturday.
And you mentioned the league. You're second in the table, but just a point behind with three games in hand. Is that really the priority? And could a Vars run become an unwanted distraction in a way?
I've heard this said many times before, when you're on a cup run, can it be a distraction? I think it actually helps, because I think if you're going well in one competition, the other one goes hand in hand, because everybody wants to train. Everybody wants to come to games. And like, we trained on Wednesday night and you had a full fixture of players. And it's one of those things that when you have their kind of attention because of what's coming up week in, week out, it's very easy to coach and very easy to manage because they want to be there. So I don't think it's a distraction. I think the longer we can stay in a competition, the better it is for us on the league campaigns. I think it keeps this whole team and the whole club more focused, because the end goal is obviously promotion. That is our biggest goal, granted. But if we can continue in the FA Vars, then that just helps us along the way.
And we had big restructure last season with lots of Step 5 clubs coming up, but there's still so much strength in Step 5, as you're finding this season.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, Walsh and the Willows last weekend, if anyone had come to the game, the second 45... was worthy of your £8 entrance fee, because it was a good example of our standard of football that you'll see. Two teams going for it, you know, hammer and tong, goals created or chances created, goals scored, penalties, you know, missed chances, it had everything. And teams in our level, and there are strong teams in our division already, you know, the Stowmarkets, you've got Manchester's, your Walsingham Willows, the top 7 or 8 teams in our league that are all capable of winning on any given day. And so it's not a given just because we're 1 point behind with 3 games in hand, but we are, you know, probably the title favourites right now. But if we have a virus run, we have more games to play. Obviously, that then creates, with the weather possibly turning, you know, as we go through January and February, we could have a very big fixture pile-up. So the squad then becomes very important. But like I said before, if you keep winning games and keep that momentum, it's a massive thing, that word, in football, momentum. And if we can keep that going, I'm sure with all the games that we have, I'm hoping that we can get through it unscathed and still be there come end of April, early May.
Well, Lance, it's fantastic to hear you being so enthusiastic, because you always were as a goalkeeper, but even more so as a manager. But also fantastic to hear that things are going well at last again for Histon, and wish you well at the weekend.
Thank you. I mean, it's one of those clubs, I've been there four times now over my career. It has played a big part in my career, where I've been and where I've got to. And so if I can take this club further and forward, then that would give me great pleasure. So hopefully we can do that this weekend, starting with Lytown.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Jim. Thank you.
Back to league action, and we've spoken a lot this season about how competitive the National North Division is. Bristol saw clubs pass the halfway mark of their 42-match season, and there's still only 10 points separating the top eight sides. This weekend sees third-place Stockport County entertain second-place Bradford Park Avenue. It's the perfect time to speak with the Bradford PA manager, Mark Bauer. Happy New Year and welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks so much for New Year.
Now, I say a perfect time, but I guess you guys, following the New Year, start off a bit disappointed with the New Year's Day defeat at Guiseley, or to Guiseley.
Yeah, it was a tight game. You know, our pitch is not in the best condition at the minute, and it made it a bit of a scrappy affair. But you know, two committed teams that went at it, and unfortunately, we just came out on the wrong side. We were a little bit unfortunate. We won a two decisions that went against us at key moments in the game. But it just highlighted how tight and how close the league is. You know, Guiseley were the bottom half of the table. We're you know, more than a match, and disappointing because we've had a decent unbeaten run going, and that came to an end on Tuesday. So the challenge to the players now is to get one going again.
Yeah, the controversial circumstances that I read about and you mentioned there, and it's those sort of things that help you almost bounce back as a unit, especially when you've got a big game ahead of you like this.
Yeah, I think what we preach to the players is, you know, just concentrate on your performance levels, and over the course of the season, you will have, you know, games where things go against you, a bit of bad luck or things don't quite turn out how you expect them to do so. But if you concentrate on keeping those performance levels to a decent standard, then over a longer period of time, as they have done this season, the results sort of look after themselves. So, you know, we won't get carried away. It's one defeat in 12 in the league, and certainly a game that could have gone either way. So we'll just concentrate on doing what we're good at, and look forward to what is a great game for us this weekend.
Yeah, you again mentioned that 11 game unbeaten run. Obviously disappointed, but does it also lift a bit of pressure as well? Does when you go on that a long run like that, does it add another dimension to the psychology of going into games?
I don't think so. We've got some good experience in the team. You know, players that have been there at the top end of this league before, and you know, to be challenging towards the top end, you will more than likely over the course of the season go on a decent unbeaten run, and I don't think there's any pressure on us. I think, you know, the expectations on us as a club are quite low, and when you listen to other people talking about us, I think the expectations of us as a team are quite low as well. So we're just enjoying where we are at the minute, and the fact that we're playing in you know, games where people see it as a big game now. I think Bradford Park Avenue would be seen in most people's fixtures as just one of those routine fixtures in the past few years. But this year, it's a bigger fixture for them. You know, the guys with players and fans were celebrating like they won the league on Tuesday after the game. So just shows how far we've come, and that, you know, teams probably are looking at us a bit differently now.
Yeah, even before this season started, we've been saying yours is possibly the toughest division to get out of. Plenty of big-name clubs, big budgets, and a few sides that have been together for a while too. Did you have any targets at the start of the season?
No, not really. No, I guess the first target was to make sure that we're still in the league next season, and not get dragged into that, you know, the fight at the bottom. So we've managed to do that. I think we would see finishing in the top half of the table as a success this season. You know, based on what we're up against. I think when we started the season, that was something that we looked at. If we could be competing in the top half, then we'll have had a good season. Obviously, it's gone a bit better than that so far, and we've put ourselves in a stronger position. But like we said before, the league is, you know, so much quality in the league, and you have to look at the teams in the bottom half of the table, just how strong it is. that, you know, we have been on good runs this season. We could quite easily fall into a bad one if we don't maintain those performance levels. So I think it's a fantastic league as well. I think it's been really competitive and some, you know, standout fixtures every single week and good players playing the trade. So no, we just keep, it's the most boring old football cliche, I guess. We take each game as it comes, and at the minute we're enjoying where we are and enjoying playing our football, and hopefully that can continue through to the end of the season.
Of course, you know, things can go wrong, but you're there or thereabouts. So say you're already past halfway. What would promotion to the National League mean to the club?
It would be, I think, something that really, when Gareth Roberts, the owner, came in a few years ago, ultimately he wants to take the club back up to historically where it was, you know, many, many years ago in the Football League. And, you know, things are happening behind the scenes at the club to improve the infrastructure and try and improve our fan base. I think, you know, crowds are up this season, but we know we've got to improve those further. There are improvements being made to the ground, the academy's up and running, and you know, we're looking to make improvements there. So, it'd increase that profile of the club and hopefully get more people coming to watch us. So, you know, as a group of players and management team, we're going out there to try and win every week. And if we do that, then we'll achieve that as well. So it'd be fantastic for everyone involved and just, you know, put Bradford Park Avenue on the map a little bit more than it currently is.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, maybe not a big name in people's immediate history, but, you know, long history when the old Football League club liquidated in 74, and I think began immediately again as a Sunday League club. But it was 88 and 89 when the club first got back onto the pyramid, 13th tier back then. So 30 years, no pressure, but 30 years on, you know, maybe if there was a Hollywood film director looking at a story, then this would be the one.
Yeah, possibly. You know, there's some, you know, people behind the scenes, volunteers and, you know, staff over the years to get it back up to this level, because you only have to look at what we're competing against now at this level of football. To get it here has been a fantastic achievement. And, you know, I hope that those people that worked so hard for that period of time are enjoying where we are now and, you know, going to places like York City and winning and things like that. So, yeah, it is a historic name, and the older fans do remember Bradford Park Avenue as a Football League club and remember derbies against Bradford City. And, you know, we're probably a fair way off anything like that, but we're heading it, you know, we're pushing it in the right direction, and everything behind the scenes is geared up to, you know, making it more sustainable and, you know, that those foundations in place, it can be successful for the longer term.
Yeah, and we know there's plenty of full-time clubs operating in your division. How do you guys work your playing week?
We're your traditional part-time setup, really. You know, I think there's a bit of a mix of the full-time teams, as those part-time teams whose players are probably paid well enough so they don't need jobs, and then the ones like ourselves where, you know, the overwhelming majority of our squad have got proper full-time jobs as well. So it's Tuesday, Thursday nights training and playing on the weekend. And, you know, we try and get that balance right between getting enough training time in, but also, you know, giving the lads enough recovery time and just that little breather and mental break more than anything else, of having a night off here and there as well, you know, to keep them sharp and keep them in the best mentality, I guess, for the games coming up. So we've had a hectic Christmas period. We'll probably look to give them a night off after the Stockport game this weekend and, you know, prepare us for the last few months of the season.
Yeah, and again, no pressure. And I mentioned how close this division has been, and obviously you only one up automatic, then the six playoff spots. Has it been drawn to your attention that your final league game on the final Saturday of April is away at current leaders Chorley, should it go to the wire?
You're the first one that's mentioned it, to be honest. No, I don't think many people think that we're going to stay there. So it is an interesting one. I think, you know, within our club, we've probably seen that. And ourselves and Charlie last season had a, you know, we finished sixth and seventh in the table. We were pushing for those last couple of playoff spots and we're competing against each other there. And obviously this season, we've been the two that have occupied the two top spots. And I'm sure, you know, without really making too much emphasis about looking at other teams' results, I'm sure that, you know, when they were second, they were, they were probably looking for us to drop points so they could get back top as they did on New Year's Day. So, yeah, I mean, if you're offering it me it right now, a one-game shoot-off between us and Chorley for the league, I'd certainly take it. But we've got a lot of hard work to do and a lot of things to go our way if we're to be in that position, you know, come the end of April.
It certainly sounds like you seem to have the troops well organised and everything headed in the right direction. So we wish you well at the weekend and look forward to speaking to you later on in the season, Mark. It's been fantastic talking to you.
Cheers, Tim.
And so to another big game in the non-league pyramid this week. This time, step four in the Bostic North. Table toppers Bowers and Pitsy travel to an in-form Heybridge Swifts, who are second in the table, so an ideal time to speak with an old friend of the show and manager at Heybridge, Julian Dix. Happy New Year, Julian.
Happy New Year to you, Tim.
Welcome back to the non-league football show. And you came in at Heybridge only at the start of October. Two league wins, I think, to start off, and you've been flying ever since.
Yeah, my philosophy of football is the boys have to work hard in training and be as fit as they can be. And to be honest, that is what they've done. I mean, they have worked their socks off every session in training. And now is showing in games that we're lasting 90 minutes in the game. So, listen, a lot of it obviously is down to them because, as I said, they have worked incredibly hard.
And you've a good Christmas period. That's what all managers always talk about. And you must be very pleased with how your lads have performed over that period just gone.
Yeah. I mean, Boxing Day against Maldon, we let ourselves down, to be honest. We didn't play particularly well and we didn't do the basics properly. I spoke to my team before the Coggleshaw game and told them a few things. And against Coggleshaw, listen, we were absolutely fantastic. There's obviously going to be times in games where the opposing team take charge, and Coggleshaw did. I mean, Coggleshaw have some good players. They're a good side, obviously. But the boys done very well.
Yeah, Coggleshaw up there in the playoffs, and a great 1-0 win there. You mentioned a Maldon and Tiptree. It, disappointing result, but great to see the fans getting behind the team. I think over 500 there on that Boxing Day game.
Yeah, there was 528. The fans have been fantastic since I've been there. They get behind the players. But they're like all supporters. They just want their teams to work hard for the shirt that they're wearing. And like the Heybridge supporters can't have any problems with that because, as I said, the boys have worked incredibly hard. And like I said, even in games, like I said, even the Maldon game, we didn't play particularly well, but they kept going. In the end, they got their rewards.
Mm. And with that Coggleshaw win up to second, and perfect timing with the visit of Bowers and Pitsy this weekend, is it perfect timing from your point of view? Or do you feel like you're best placed now to take those on?
Well, listen, if you want to get promoted, you've got to take on the best teams. And obviously Bowers are top, so they're the best in the league. They're up there for a reason because, I've watched them once or twice. They're a very good side. So, listen, it's always a good time to play teams when you're winning games, especially if you're second in the league as well. So, like I said, obviously we're 6 points behind Bowers, but we go out, we just play our game and work as hard as we have been doing. I'm sure it'd be a good game.
Yeah, no, a win wouldn't be enough to take top spot, but psychological would be a massive start to the new year.
Of course. I mean, obviously the game against Coggleshaw was a great start to the new year. But you have to keep going. And like I said, you have to take on the best teams and you have to pick up points. And as I said, Bowers obviously are the best side in the league. They're there for a reason. So, listen, it's going to be a tough game. We know that. I mean, Coggleshaw was a tough game and Maldon was a tough game. So, like I said, you're playing, obviously, over the Christmas time and New Year, you're playing the three teams around you in the league. So, listen, it's going to be tough. Of course it is, but the players are looking forward to it at the moment, so am I.
It's tough, and you can see, it sounds like you're enjoying it. Now, obviously, your last job in football was with the Mitre West Ham on their first team coaching staff under Slaven Bilic. And I'd imagine the machinery and resources around you there were considerably different from what you've got back in non-league. But how much do you have to adapt your own games to compensate for that?
No, I treat the boys as I treated the lads at West Ham. Obviously, it's different levels, but they're still football players. I treat them as professionals. So I respect them. Hopefully, they respect me. I tell them the truth about the way they play and what I want them to do. So, like I said, it's not, I don't have to adapt what I'm doing. Obviously, yeah, things are different. Obviously, the ground and the facilities with the physio and stuff like that, of course, it's all different. But this is non-league. That's what it is. Like I said, I've been in non-league before. So, but listen, Heybridge is a good club. It's going in the right direction. It concentrates a lot on the youth, which sometimes I coach as well. So it's a good club to be around.
Yeah, and I know you've been itching to get back involved for a long, long while. And did it have to be the right club for you to dive back into non-league? Because I'd imagine there were possibly other options higher up or maybe in the media for you as well.
No, I had no offers from any clubs.
Oh, well, you would have had an offer to join us on the non-league show, Julian. You know, we love you being back in football. But there's a passion that you still got for non-league, isn't there? Is that important for you just to get back out there every week and being involved in football?
Yes, I love football. It's been my life since I left home at 14. It's a massive part of my life. And like I said, I love non-league football because it's a bit more kick, bollock and bite, to be honest. And I enjoy it. It's good to be around players that enjoy training, enjoy playing games. But everything is better because you're winning games. Whether you're in the Premiership or you're at non-league in the Bostic North, it's about winning games, and it's a better place to be around if you're winning games. So long may we continue to win games.
Winning games always helps, doesn't it? It makes everybody smile. When you came in at Heybridge, were there any targets set?
No. I mean, I know Steve, the vice chairman. I've known Gary, the chairman, for a while. But again, football is, like when I went in there, it's just about a progression. They were struggling, obviously. So like Jody resigned, and I went in my first training session. All I said to boys, and all I expect you to do is to work hard. That's all I expect. You've got ability. That's the reason why you're here. But again, football's for me, it is about hard work. If you work hard, you do get your rewards and you do get your luck. And like I said, the boys, they train for an hour and a half. Everything is high tempo, very intense. And it's like, for me, is showing now on the pitch with their fitness.
And you're only 19 games into the season, halfway through. Can you see yourself taking that top spot and becoming champions of the division?
Well, you'd like to think that you have an opportunity, but there's obviously other teams that are and their managers thinking, yeah, we can do that. We just have to keep plugging away, keep doing what we're doing, and picking up points. And so we'll see where we are at the end of the season. As I said, the boys have been fantastic so far. But like you just said, he's only halfway through the season. So there's a long way to go. There's a lot of games to go. And all teams will obviously drop points in things like that. So, but from my point of view and Heybridge's point of view, we just have to keep going.
And what about your own thoughts about the standard non-league? We've had this shake-up over the last summer, the new divisions coming in, that sort of thing. And it does seem that a lot of the divisions are a lot more competitive this season.
Yeah, there's the standards for where we are is very good. Obviously, there's some very good players, individual players, about as well. So, and there's quite a bit of money floating about in some clubs as well. So, but for me, it's about getting the right balance for my team. Listen, we all like to have the best players in every position, but for me, it's about having a balance. With the side, and it's difficult trying to keep everybody happy. My philosophy as well is that if the team wins and they're playing well, it stays the same for the next game. And obviously the people that are on the bench are not happy because they're not playing, which I understand, but they have to wait for their chance. But if you keep winning games, it becomes obviously more difficult for them to get in there. And listen, some people will leave because they want to play football. But that's the nature of non-league football, unfortunately.
It's the nature of non-league football. It's why we love it as well. And it's why we love you, Julian. Thank you for joining us back on the non-league show. And best of luck at the weekend. And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you.
So for the first time this year, let's head on over to the non-league paper. And a welcome back to the show to senior writer at the NLP, Mr. Matt Badcock. Happy New Year, Matt.
Happy New Year, Tim. How are you? New Year, or?
It's a new year, isn't it? Yeah. Well, is 2019 going to be a fantastic year for non-league?
It's going to be a fantastic year for all of football, yeah. I'm calling it early. This is going to be the best year yet.
I'll hold.
I've got nothing to back that up. I've got nothing to back that up. I'm just feeling positive. We're on day three, aren't we? And it's, you know,
it's a feel still washing over me.
Yeah, well, optimism's always a great thing. So why don't we start with probably, or possibly, or definitely the biggest game in non-league this weekend? Top v third in the National League, Leyton Orient against Salford City. This is one of your feature games this weekend?
It is. It's a huge game for both sides. We'll be covering it nice and big in the paper. I mean, Leyton Orient fans probably a few years ago when their club were pushing for the championship probably hadn't heard of Salford City, but I very much know all about them now, and Orient are in pole position at the moment, aren't they? They've sort of dropped a couple of points recently, but their form up until before Christmas has been fantastic. And obviously Salford have just had a slight wobble and lost a few games on the spin, but got back to winning ways on New Year's Day against Wrexham, which I think was an important result for them, but also sets this game up quite nicely as well. And it'll be interesting to see. I was up at the first game on the first day of the season up at Salford, and it was a really enjoyable close game. And it'll be interesting to see how the teams have sort of developed over the season since then. And Warren just looks so solid, and maybe Salford's slight problem is the amount of goals they're conceding at the moment. So it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, you mentioned Wrexham there, and they've got a home tie against Dover. So I guess they'll be hoping this one turns out to be a draw, and or even Salford grabbing a win there, just to keep it tighter at the top there. Because you mentioned, you know, Orient, 4 points clear, but they played a game in more than Wrexham. It's still very tight, but if Orient start pulling away, the psychology of that's going to be important.
Yeah, I think this is one of those. If they go out and get a win on Saturday, then everyone's going to, you know, that's a real sort of statement result, isn't it? And everyone's going to then be looking to them to, you know, to go on and win it. I think there's a long old way to go, isn't there? But, you know, what a position to be in. But we can't, if they can't count out Wrexham, their result against Salford on Boxing Day was very impressive. And, you know, people talk about that. Wrexham are struggling to score goals. Went 5 past them in the crowd. They had 8,000 down there, didn't they? And then 6,000 a few days later. That shows what a massive club they are. And they're definitely going to have a say. And then you can even look a little bit further down to Fylde. They're only 2 points behind Salford. So it's going to be a really interesting one. But at the moment, it looks like these are the three that are setting the pace. And they've sort of been swapping first place over the last few weeks. It's going to be really interesting. If Salford go down there and get a result, then, well, you know, that'll send out a message as well, won't it?
Yeah, it's interesting in National League that, you know, they're well ahead at their fixtures in the league there. What, a 46-game season, I think, this year, and, you know, 27, 28 games played already. So it's getting tasty now. It's getting to the tasty stage of the season in league tables.
Yeah, this is really now where it's completely taken shape, isn't it? I think we can sort of hide behind it earlier on and say, well, you know, there's early days and things like that, but this really isn't now. We're right into the thick of it. We've got through the festive period. These are the teams that are up there because they are the best side in the division. And Warren have obviously gone out and what they'll see is strength, and they brought in Jordan Maguire-Drew, who has been on loan at Wrexham, and he's an exciting talent, and he was really good a couple of years ago when he was at Dagenham. Looked, he was outstanding when they got into the playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see who else Salford bring in this period. They've already brought in Matt Green from Lincoln to add some firepower, and, you know, so they're already sort of pretty prolific front line. They're up there with the top scorers in the league, aren't they, Salford? So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and every result now is going to be, you know, I know the clubs might not say it, but they're all going to be looking at what each other are doing and where they've got to go, and also whether we see any games get called off, because that can often factor in if you get a tricky Tuesday night rearranged tie and things like that. That can really sort of sway the way seasons can go as well.
So yeah, there's plenty to talk about in the league, but we must mention the FA Cup as well. It is the third round, and only two non-league clubs are taking part. Woking taking on Watford and Barnet with a trip to Sheffield United. Any chance of a cup set in either one?
Well, I decided to make a bold prediction in my column last week and say that Woking would get a draw with Watford, so I'm sticking by that. Whether that all, well, I regret that, I don't know. But, you know, Alan Dowson will have his team well up for that. I mean, that takes absolutely no motivation, does it? And, you know, live on TV on Sunday, that'll be a great occasion. I think they've sold out nearly well over 5,000 tickets down at Woking. So that would be a fantastic atmosphere. And it's one of those sort of old cliches, if they can sort of make it a bit tricky for them, then you never know what might happen. I mean, Brian, of course, you've got a trickier task going up to Sheffield United, flying high in the Championship, aren't they? And our manager Chris Wilder, who knows all about the dangers of non-league teams, because he sort of cut his teeth as a manager in non-league, didn't he? So I'm sure he'll be well aware of what they can do. But I saw Barnet last week, and they've got some good players, and you never know. That's the magic of the cup. It's just, it's a bit of a shame that both games are on Sunday. I think you sort of lose a little bit of that excitement about the third round being on Saturday, but I think that's the way of the world now, of all these where the TV moves all the games around, which is fair enough, because it I know people don't like it, but it does bring in the money into the competition that gets dished out to all the clubs.
And you mentioned Barnet, and there was an announcement over the Christmas period of John Steele retiring from the dugout. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a surprise, sort of the timing of it. I mean, I think John Steele's achieved in the game is incredible. We're actually doing a piece this week where I was sort of looking back over it and spoken to Anna Ridden, who played for him, who was with him at Bristol Rovers, but was his captain at Dagenham when they got promoted into the Football League and then into League One. And, you know, he's been an unbelievable servant to football and lowly football and non-league football, as John, you know, the players that he's helped unearth and given them a platform to go on and to win promotion into the league with four different clubs is quite incredible. And that longevity, you know, you don't really see that. I don't think we'll see that as often in the future. But it was a bit of a surprise. We wonder whether he's sort of been thinking about it for a little while. You know, he's achieved so much in the game, and maybe it's time for a rest. And I think he sort of wanted to really help Darren Curry, sort of put him into a position. He's now got the chance. He's interim manager at the moment, but he's got that sort of the chance to really sort of make the job his own. And we started where he got a win and a draw in his first two games. So yeah, he's sort of seems to be spoke to him a couple of times now. He's always been impressed with how he comes across and his views on the game. So it's not many better people to learn from than John Steele, so good opportunity for Darren Curry.
Yeah, I think that was almost typical John Steele as well, wasn't it? You know, it steps back but puts his arm around the new young incumbent to come in and sort of help him through.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's, you know, you can see his, yeah, everyone speaks so highly of John, and you know how sort of down to earth he is and how grounded he's always been, and sort of nice that he's, you know, trying to help along. I think he called him his protege in the statement, and you know, it'll be a miss in the dugout, and he's obviously still going to be involved at Barnet, sort of overseeing things. But you know, what a fantastic career he's had.
A little bit disappointed personally that, you know, having played so many competitive games in junior football against Darren Curry, I've not had the call yet. But you know, maybe if you can pass on my number next time you speak to him.
Well, I will do. You know, maybe he's been busy, or you've probably been busy not answering his call.
Well, that's probably the way it goes if you listen to everybody else moaning about me. And another surprise, perhaps, the resignation of Steve Burr from Stafford Rangers.
Yeah, Steve's sort of, Steve Wise, again, his record speaks for itself over the years. And fantastic, and obviously hasn't quite worked out for Stafford, but you see everyone seems to have, doesn't have a bad word to say about him, which is typical of Steve. You know, I'm sure he'll be back in when he can. You know, always enjoy watching his teams play great attacking football, and you know what he's done over the years. I think, you know, sort of, you know, that's not suddenly gone. So I think there'll be plenty of clubs will be interested in getting Steve back in.
And probably it says a lot about the man as well that to resign when the club are still, you know, they're hovering above the relegation zone, but they're not sort of in deep doo doo as often these resignations come about. So giving someone else a chance to come in and maybe lift them away from that. But perhaps less surprising, the departure of Martin Allen at Chesterfield. He came in with all so much expectation on his shoulders, and it just hasn't worked out.
It's just been sort of crazy, Chesterfield, isn't it? You know, you think that they won those first three games of the season in that first week and then didn't win again until they went and beat Salford. It's, you know, they had all those draws in the middle, and it's just, you know, I think this often shows when clubs come down. I know the fans haven't been happy, and there have been protests and things like that, and fans got on the pitch, didn't they, against when they're playing Solihull and protested then. You know, it just, there's obviously some problems at the club, and when that's going on in the background, it doesn't kind of, you know, it makes it even on the pitch even harder sometimes. And they've had injuries, they've lost Charlie Carter, they got from Woking, who's an outstanding talent. Sam Wedgbury, who knows his division inside out, had an injury. You know, he's a strong central midfield player, and when you sort of lose people like that, it doesn't help. And it just hasn't worked out. I mean, I saw them a couple of weeks ago against Leighton Orient, and Orient won, but there are times you think, well, you know, you can see why they're not losing games and had so many draws. I know they've lost 10 now, but they had all those draws. You could see why, because they were obviously clearly really awkward to play against, and balls were dropping in the box, and more of them to scrabble a few clear, but eventually their class sort of just took over. But, you know, they need to, I think the next appointment is absolutely massive. They've got to get this right now, and you know, there's no time to be sort of someone to come and feel their way in. They've got to get results, otherwise they can have a really tricky ending to the season. And you know, people talk about clubs not being too big to go down, but you look at like a York and Stockport have gone down from this league over the last few years, and you know, it could happen. They've got to get this right. And other clubs around them have been winning games and pulled away, like the Dovers of the world. And yeah, it's I feel for Chesterfield fans. It's not easy, but survival is just the priority here, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, because there's also talk of potential new buyers coming in too. So they maybe don't want to make an immediate replacement. They've got John Pemberton in as the caretaker, but as you say, it's important that they bring somebody in now that can start building some results and getting them pulled away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, in a funny way, someone like Martin Allen is the sort of person who's often come in and done those sort of jobs, and he's done it at Barnet, and I know he didn't quite keep him up last year, but he has done in the past. And it's just, you know, it's a critical time now. There's no time to sort of waste. When you've won only four games all season, you know that you're in trouble, and it can turn around quickly when they can put a run of results together. But they don't really want this to be dripping on any longer, because you know the season will soon fly by.
So we've got the big game in the National League, we've got the FA Cup, and we've got some bits and pieces about management. What else can we expect to read about in this weekend's non-league paper, Matt?
Well, as I mentioned, I've spoken to Anwar Udin about, he's at Glebe, Glebe manager now, but I spoke to him about John Still, so we've got a bit of a feature about that. Also, Adam Virgo has run through his every team in the National League and given his verdict as we sort of come into this last part of the season, how he thinks they're faring, what they might need, and sort of given a few predictions, which always interesting to see. Adam, obviously BT Sport pundit, and watches all the co-commentators and all the games throughout the season. And yeah, FA Vars this week as well, which is suddenly back upon us. The road to Wembley sort of getting fewer and fewer clubs on it now, so it'll be some big games in that competition this week. So lots of coverage, lots to look forward to, and start 2019 with a real bang.
And plenty to read, I'm sure. And we look forward to Sunday morning when we can open the paper and read all about it, Matt. Thanks for joining us again, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests, and a big thank you to you for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. And tell your friends, too, that they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Smart Speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Happy New Year to you all. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.